is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it is Wednesday, the 26th of April. Glad to have you along for the conversation. And a lot of it focusing on the lawlessness of the federal judges put into place over the last 8 years. What if Donald Trump realized how deep and wide and ugly the swamp really was when he said, I'll clean it up? Maybe he did, but I'm going to guess he's surprised every day at the total volume of cleanup necessary. Federal Judge William Orrick striking down the executive order that would clamp down on funding to so-called sanctuary cities, those that are openly breaking the law. Saying it's unconstitutional, this judge did, to withhold federal funds from cities that are openly breaking federal law. You see, Donald Trump didn't create these laws. He's merely enforcing them. And the lawlessness is, to me, it's breathtaking. They're all covered by Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the West Coast, of course. The Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. We're supposed to be a nation of laws, and yet we seem to be fairly lawless on many days lately. Mike in Ann Arbor checking in. Mike, welcome to it.
Good morning, Steve. Boy, you've really got to calm down. Last hour, I was afraid you were going to have a heart attack.
Oh, come on now. I'm not even well. I have not even my second cup of coffee yet.
Okay. Listen, I think the first 100 days of Donald Trump have been a total disaster. I mean, a total disaster. Not for him, for the liberals, for the Democrats, for the radicals, for Obama. I think what they've done is they've exposed to the United States, the people of the country, the voting public, exactly what the left is, period. And secondly, I think this has hardened the support. I'm a Trump supporter. I've been from the get-go. People like Nolan Finley, who were never Trumpers, you had him on the other day, suddenly are getting lukewarm to him. Those people that were with Ted Cruz and were dead-hearted Ted Cruz people and wouldn't accept anybody but Ted Cruz, now they're pushing and supporting Donald Trump. So I think this is working totally in his favor, and I think the results will be seen in 2 years in 2018.
I think you're onto something here, Mike, and here's why.
Tired of what they're seeing now, and they vote against the Democrats.
Well, I think that I'm going to go back to these leftist radical judges. Even people that are friends of mine that are on the left say, you know, this is wrong. These judges are behaving this way, and they know the judges came from Barack Obama. They look at the lawlessness. They look at what's going on in Berkeley. They look at the rioting. They look at Democrats say things like, well, if you don't support abortion, there's really no room for you in the Democratic Party. They look at the media. People in America have a general sense of fair play on all sides of the political spectrum. They know when they see the media not playing fairly, Mike. They know when people aren't being honest with them. They know when they're, you know, they don't like the fact that Donald Trump never gets a break. He never got a honeymoon. He never got a shot. Nothing he does is good enough for any of them. They just constant complain and pick and find fault and attack. And you're right. It wears people out. And I think that that's a good part of the problem. 888-900-9966 if you'd like to join the conversation. Still coming today. We're going to have Dr. Dennis DeRule here, author of Your Healthcare Playbook. We're going to talk about some healthcare things today, and we'll get to that. The question is, will Obamacare implode? Is it back on the table to be discussed? Our tax changes coming your way. A lot of conversation about tax changes. If you have an S corporation, an LLC, a partnership, if Donald Trump's tax plan goes through, you could save a pile of money. You might be able to hire some new people. I'm serious about that. If you drop S corps, of course, where money flows through to the personal tax returns of those that are owners of the business, if that's reduced to 15% from what it is currently, I think the high is 39.6, so you drop that to 15%, people are going to invest. People are going to spend money. The economy will move. Of course, the Democrats will kick and scream, how is it going to be paid for? Like, when was the last time you worried about how anything was going to be paid for? I live in a state where there's $150 billion of debt that nobody ever talks about. It's like the dirty secret of Michigan. $150 billion of real debt in this state that nobody has any idea how it's ever going to get paid for. Our annual budget's only $55 billion, give or take. So triple that, and you have how much debt we have piled up over the years. We have no real plan to pay for. Oh, we'll take a little bit here, a little bit there. No real serious approach to reducing it. And you're going to sit there and bellyache about, how are we going to pay for a tax cut? I don't know. How did you pay for all the crap you bought before that we didn't need? By sticking it to me, the taxpayer, and my friends and relatives and neighbors? How'd you pay for all that stuff we didn't need? Made sure you got yourself reelected, though, didn't you? Made sure there's enough money flowing to your district that you looked good, so, hey, look, I did this. Elect me again and again and again. The hell's wrong with us? We should have, you know, we think we'd learn our lesson somewhere along the line, but we didn't. Keep doing the same things. Well, maybe it'll be different this time. No, I don't think so. Let's see here. Speaking of different, after the big change at Fox News, Rupert Murdoch is pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised. Sent a memo out to the folks at Fox. This, of course, after Bill O'Reilly's sudden, unexpected departure. He didn't return from vacation. He shook hands with the Pope, but divine intervention was not enough. So Murdoch sent this out yesterday. He's the 86-year-old media mogul who still is apparently in charge of Fox News and 21st Century Fox, along with his two children. But he is impressed because the ratings blew it off the charts. He was congratulating the Fox News staff. Last night's ratings are in. I couldn't be more proud to announce that not only did Fox News beat all other cable news competition with our new primetime lineup, but we also increased our ratings 31% in total viewers and 54% in key demos compared to last year, said the executive chair of 21st Century Fox. This was a stellar performance that could not have happened without the amazing effort and dedication from everyone on the team. I know the last few weeks have been tough for everyone, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, Tucker Carlson, who took over for O'Reilly, brought in 3.2 million viewers, far more than the entire 8 o'clock viewership of CNN, MSNBC, RT, BBC, and everybody else combined. Though he did not match O'Reilly's viewership, Carlson did deliver almost exactly the same number of viewers in the key and coveted 25 to 54-year-old age demographic as O'Reilly did his final show. The Five also did terrific, moving to 9 o'clock at night. The networks had some negative input because of what happened with O'Reilly, but their ratings, well, their ratings are through the roof. How do you like that? Yeah, so, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. All right, still to come today, Dr. Dennis DeRule, as I told you, Katie McAuliffe will be here, and she thinks that we've given away all of our internet privacy. It's all been given away, and we've been hoodwinked. That plus your midweek detoxification with Ron Rademacher. Ron's going to be here. We're going to run the back roads with Ron. It's coming up here a little bit later this hour. A chance to make some plans for a 1 or 2 day getaway here in Michigan. Maybe just a couple of hours, depending on what is on your schedule for the end of the week and the weekend. Back roads with Ron today. Plus so much more. It's a Wednesday edition of the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All right, welcome back to it. 18 after on this Wednesday, halfway through this week. You're doing well. Just stay with it. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Keep that in mind. My next guest, Dr. Dennis Durrell, author of Your Healthcare Playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine, covering where Obamacare stands as Trump's 100th date gets here. Let's talk about Obamacare, doctor. Almost 100 days in the book for Donald Trump. The first run at Obamacare and repeal and replace and so forth stalled before it got out there, but a lot more talk about it now. In fact, some headlines saying that the conservatives might be getting on board. Welcome back to the program. What do you make of it?
Thank you, Steve. Well, you're exactly right. I mean, I think with the first go-around, you know, to use a football analogy, they fumbled. There's no doubt about it. But I think I know for a fact that meeting with some congressmen that the moderates are meeting with the Freedom Caucus. They have Tom MacArthur from New Jersey, as you know, put forth an amendment that would appease some of the Freedom Caucus. And they're working on it. I think with tax this week, it won't be this week, but I believe in the next 2 weeks or so, you're going to see movement on the bill.
Fair enough. Okay, with football analogies, I'm going to correct you only a wee bit, Doctor. I think it was a turnover on downs, not really a fumble. I think they turned it over on downs, but then the other team went three and out. So now the Republicans have the football back, really. I mean, the Democrats have nothing to offer except the collapse of Obamacare, right? That's what they have to offer the American people, something that is not financially sustainable, can't survive on its own without, you know, extracting billions of dollars from the taxpayers. So they're back in the game. They've got the ball. The question is, can they move it down the field?
Yes, they can. You know, I'm going to be up in Washington. I got invited to meet with the Doctor Caucus. Yeah, I mean, my feeling is they can get it done. They need to get it done. You've rightly said that the Democrats are playing prevent. They're doing nothing. They're sitting back. They're not collaborating. And they want this bill to fail. And the Republicans can't let it happen. Americans need this relief. And I do think they will get it through the House. The question is what happens in the Senate. But I feel confident about that from the people that I've spoken to.
Now, there were some battles over Obamacare and Trump's border wall, and of course, Charles Schumer saying that was a non-starter, trading Obamacare payments for financing the border wall. He's a non-starter. And of course, we're facing a deadline here in a couple of days to fund the government. Otherwise, there'll be a shutdown. And the way the government shutdown works, the media, wouldn't matter what the facts are, and I believe this, the Republicans get blamed no matter what the truth behind the government shutdown is. That's the way the game is played. No matter who shuts it down or why it runs out of money or why it stops for a few minutes, which generally affects nobody did you ever notice the government shutdown in practical application? Because I certainly did not. But the Republicans get blamed, and CNN and MSNBC have something to blather on about for days on end while it goes on. So it's best to avoid the shutdown. The question is, once we're around that, where does it go? Because I don't think we're going to see anything in the next couple of days. I don't think you believe that either, Doctor.
No, I don't. I mean, I think that they'll avoid a shutdown. That's my opinion. They'll kick the can. That's what they do. I do agree that Republicans get blamed for that inappropriately. However, I think that they'll get tax announced today. I mean, I was reading that pass-through companies, so LLCs, the mom and pops, may get a tax break from 39% down to 15%. That would be huge.
It would be enormous. Well, 39.6% for the highest earners, of course, a little bit lower, but still cutting it to 15% for the pass-through on the S-Corps and the LLCs and so forth. That would be a dramatic infusion of cash into small businesses, which are 90% of the, you know, employers around the country. So that's key. And not that 90% are S-Corps and so forth, but small businesses and S-Corps and LLCs and pass-through corporations represent a significant amount of those businesses, including ones that I own, which would mean more money to invest back into what we do. You see, so it works for everybody.
I couldn't agree more. I own companies like that myself, and that's what America is all about. So I guess this week is going to be taxed. They're working behind the scenes, but I feel confident they're going to get something done. And when they do, if the Democrats sit on the sidelines, then this is going to turn on them. So I think they should get involved. President Trump has invited them to collaborate, and I think it's a mistake to sit back, because I do think that the Republicans are going to get something that'll help. I really like the amendment. They're going to use a model in Maine for high-risk pools that has brought down premiums by 20%. It's amazing, and I've made some suggestions. I've listened, so I hope we can make some modifications.
So what are the modifications? We got a couple of minutes here. What are some key things that you think you would need to see in it? You know, because here's the thing. We've all figured this out over the course of our lifetimes. A government program, once established, is the closest thing to eternal life as anything there ever will be, at least in this lifetime, right? So here we are looking at it and going, you know, Obamacare is here to stay. Like it or not, it's here. So what do you do to make it palatable, for lack of a better term?
Well, there's a couple of things that you do. First of all, let's remember that Obamacare is only a small percentage of the insured in America, right? 150 million get it through employer. So you don't want to affect them negatively. So when you allow people to have thinner plans, if they want it, a smaller plan, not with all the benefits, you're going to give people choice. That's going to bring down costs. So I think one of the key elements is deregulate this. Let the states make and innovate programs so that you can then bring down those premiums. So I think that's one of the key elements. Another thing that I suggested to them is that in order to stabilize these insurance markets, we're going to give them a lot of money. Everyone's upset about it. But you know what? We can give them the money, but the insurance companies have to perform. They'll get a star rating. And if they do well, they get their money. If they don't, they won't. Now, hospitals and doctors have those same ratings now. The insurance companies should have those too. So give them the money, but based on a rating. So those are a couple of the suggestions that I've made, and I'd like to see if we can get that done.
Yeah, that sounds like a, you know, it's going to be an undertaking no matter what happens, Doctor. I appreciate you stopping in for the conversation. I'm sure we will talk again soon as we can work our way through this process. Dr. Dennis DeRuhl, thank you as always.
My pleasure. I'll keep you informed.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, did Republicans actually move legislation to sell off your internet privacy, what little was left? Our next guest seems to think so. Sit tight. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All righty. Well, if you believe that your internet activity is fairly private and discreet, well, I've got some swampland for sale. But here are some headlines. The politician that gave away your data, now buy hers, said the Daily Beast. House Republicans voted to let your internet provider sell your browsing history without your permission, Business Insider declared, and so on and so forth. But is it true? Is there a lot going on here, or is Ajit Pai being held to a standard that's unfair? Katie McAuliffe, Federal Affairs Manager at Americans for Tax Reform. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. So what's the truth about the Federal Communications Commission and net neutrality and privacy and all of these things with Ajit Pai as the new director of the Federal Communications Commission? What can you tell me?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, with Commissioner Pai or Chairman Pai at the head of the Federal Communications Commission, we are finally returning to free market policies that will help everyone with access to broadband, help everyone with their communications, internet, make sure the internet remains free and open. This whole dust up about the privacy thing was completely fabricated. It is the exact same internet that you used 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. No one can sell all of your information. This was really a complete and total lie.
So you, because here's, there were a lot of battles during the last group of members of the Communications Commission, the Federal Communications Commission. Ajit Pai penned a passionate dissent against a lot of these rules and said that those on the left were using it as a weapon, as a tool to advance their agenda. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. One of the first things he did, he said, I'm going to put any rule changes out on the internet for all to see for like 3 weeks or something like that. Of course, those mm-hmm. that's not long enough, they screamed. Of course, they had never done anything like it at all. It is incredibly hypocritical, is it not?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, before when we complained that, hey, you completely changed your orders, you put out this order for comment, and then the one that you passed has absolutely nothing to do with what you put out for comment, they said that, oh, no, everything's fine. But now that was the Obama FCC, now under President Trump, we're getting things 3 weeks in advance in an additional comment period, and that's not enough, whereas before we got nothing, and that was plenty. I don't understand this at all.
Yeah, well, I can explain it to you. It's called socialism, Marxism, you know, do as I say, we'll tell you how to live your life and sit down and keep still.
That's the whole thing behind net neutrality is really it's a step towards the government takeover of the internet.
Of course it is.
If you like the way that your electricity is run or any public utility or anything along those lines, if you think those are innovative, then great. You want the government running your internet, but I'm pretty sure that's not how Americans feel.
Well, the thing that I always go back to is the euphemisms they use are just tremendously entertaining in a Orwellian sort of way, like the fairness doctrine that was anything but fair or would have been complete. Because if you can't compete with me in what I talk about in a free market society, then they'll put somebody on after me that talks about things to the left of center. If I talk about things to the right of center, then they would demand and order somebody to sit behind me. They would get no listeners and no ratings and no support, but they would make it so. That's what the FCC thought that they should do to regulate what we talk about. And then there would have been no talk stations because all of the owners would have just converted them all to music stations and forgotten about it, right?
Right, exactly. Well, and, you know, they use that the word fairness, and that's what they did with the word privacy. Everybody cares about privacy. Let's say this is actually privacy, but really what it was the Federal Communications Commission going, you know what, we're going to regulate this in a crazy way that we've decided that no other industry is regulated in terms of privacy. We're going to take it away from the Federal Trade Commission, and we have absolutely no experience in this field, but you know what, we know best.
Well, that's exactly, that's part and parcel. And that's right. How we have no experience. We have no idea what we're doing, but we're going to tell you exactly what you should do, though we have no clue ourselves. Welcome.
Exactly.
Welcome to the government world of you know, that's the way it works. Marxist. We know better, although we have no clue. It's crazy, Katie.
It is completely crazy. It baffles me every day.
All right. So as we go forward, let's be honest about this. There is no real privacy out there when it comes to the internet. I know, because if I go look at a chair online today for the next 2 weeks, you know, there'll be chairs popping up of every size, shape, description, and so forth on my internet because, yeah, you know, it just keeps it. And then here I want to ask you about this one. My cousin, who's a pretty successful guy and lives in the South, he sends me a note every couple of weeks. Hey, listen, I just got a friend request from a person on Facebook or, you know, people you may know type thing. Not a request, but here's people you may know. And he's like, a couple of these people I have no connection with whatsoever. One of them was his doctor a dozen years ago. Said never had any electronic communication. He was his doctor for a couple of years. Don't have any mutual friends. The guy, you know, moved away. And all of a sudden, here's somebody you may, how the heck would they know that? He's going, it creeps me out because how would they ever make that connection? I had nothing to do with the guy except to go to his office a couple of times. How do they make a connection like that?
You know, that I really don't know. I mean, that just seems like a wild coincidence, honestly, but I couldn't really comment on that. I mean, you know, the internet, though, basically is we deal in information. The internet is quote unquote free because we exchange information. Information is now currency. So the important thing to look at here is how can I control my money, which is my information? And that's something that we do have control over, and we can opt in and opt out of how we share information online. But also that basic.
But can we really? I mean, I've done this. I don't know how many places you've lived in your life, Katie, but yeah. I've lived, you know, a few, right? And if I jump on and, you know, you have these things show up every now and then, hey, click this button and find out everything about yourself. I'm like, okay. So every now and then I'll go, hey. And it shows me in about five different places. I'm like, wow, it really does have every place I've ever lived, you know, at least some information, and, you know, a trail of breadcrumbs at a minimum, right? And,
right. Well, and that information was already always accessible. Now it's just easier to get to. And that's really, I mean, because the internet deals in information and it is something that, you know, we exchange for a service. So what we can really do best is just be aware. So knowing about those privacy settings and if that's something that matters to you, knowing how to approach that kind of thing to reduce your presence as much as possible. But if you're using the internet, it's because you like it. It's because you like the service. And also, you like not paying for a lot of the things.
And well, yeah.
Paying for it, say, financially, but we do pay for it in information.
Yeah, I guess the only way to avoid it is to get rid of your smartphone, get rid of your computer, catch your own food, and make your own soap. You know, just, I mean, that's what we're down to here, making your own candles, Katie. That's what we're up against.
That's where we are. Get completely off the grid, and then no one will know anything about you. But then that's kind of the way it always was.
You really think so?
Well, at least in my world.
At least in your private Idaho? Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Katie. Well, I appreciate you stopping through, too, because, you know, if you read these headlines, you'd think that they'd stolen and sold and all these things. Not really true at all.
Not really true at all.
Yeah. Well, that's what Daily Beast, you know, and they talk about the fake media. Really? The Daily Beast talks about anything. We'll get back to that another day. Katie McAuliffe, greatly appreciate your time as always.
Great. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Katie McAuliffe, Federal Affairs Manager for the Americans for Tax Reform. Next time we might actually talk tax reform with her because that's apparently on the horizon sometime soon. Now, when we come back, we're going to take a midweek detox tour with Ron Rademacher. He's a travel writer and author, and he's going to highlight some great places across the state here. that we may be able to run away to for, you know, an hour or two or a day or maybe even 2 days if we're really lucky. I want to thank the good folks at Northville Lumber for partnering with me on the program here. You know, they sell more Trex decking and railing than anyone in the Midwest. Trex decking, the recycled, low maintenance, basically no maintenance decking material. Find out more. Log on to NorthvilleLumber.com, NorthvilleLumber.com, and thank you to Northville Lumber for helping out. Back after this.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
All right, it's your midweek detox. That's what it is. We're going to get away from the news for a bit. We're going to stretch our legs. We're going to get lost on the back roads with Ron Rademacher, travel writer, author, speaker, storyteller, just an all-around good guy who's been lost. Yeah, I think he holds the record for being lost on Michigan's back roads. Ron, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm doing well, and the weather is really spectacular right now. But, you know, I won't kid you. You know, we all need a break. We all need to detox a little bit. We've got jobs and pressure and this and that. And you're the doctor to help us with that this week, because you're going to tell us where we can go and clear our heads and maybe do a little fishing and sightseeing. What's first up on the agenda, Ron?
Well, of course, Steve, you know, I'm always willing to tell you where to go.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
don't mention it. Well, with friends like me, you know. But listen, if you need to detox this weekend and you live anywhere near Michigan, you are in luck. You know, the National Trout Festival is in Kalkaska. That actually starts this afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, and they're going to have fishing tournaments. There's great food. You know, and there'll even be people who will be coming from all over to celebrate the creation of the Adams fly, which was created there, probably the most successful fly ever created for fly fishermen.
Well, maybe so, for other fly fishermen. You know, my success with fly fishing is, you know, it has its good moments and its bad moments. Often in my back cast is tangled up in the trees behind me, but so it is. National Trout Festival, not just local, but it's the National Trout Festival.
They're going to be coming from all over, and some people will make the pilgrimage to the town of Kingsley, where there's one of the original Adams flies is on display in the library there.
All right, so who made this Adams fly? I'm going to guess Mr. Adams did, or Mrs. Adams, whichever it may be.
Actually, it was a lucky accident. Judge Charlie Adams, almost 100 years ago, was fishing on the Boardman River. He saw a hatch taking place on the river and noticed that none of the flies in his tackle box matched what was coming out of the water. He asked a buddy of his, Len Halliday, to tie him a new pattern. Len Halliday did that. He tested it out on the nearby pond. And that was the origin of the Adams fly.
Boom. You know who the smartest fisherman in the river is, don't you, Ron?
No.
The last guy to catch a fish. He is the smartest guy alive, I could guarantee you. The smartest guy in the boat, the last guy to catch a fish. Where else can we go this weekend? I see that's not the only fish available for catching this weekend.
No, you also have the Freeland Walleye Festival. It's been going on for more than 20 years, and it's for everybody. They have a carnival, they have fish fries, they have poker tournaments, and they have a community-wide, one of two community-wide garage sales that's going on this weekend. So if you clean out your, if you got space in your garage, go up there, because they've all cleaned theirs out, and it's all for sale all over. There's another, so that's the Walleye Festival, but all let's right. not forget a Michigan tradition. And that's maple syrup.
Really? I love maple. Maple anything, basically, for me. I won't kid you, Ron. Maple anything. That's why I love it.
More than a quarter of a century ago, there was a bunch of guys who needed an excuse to go for a motorcycle ride early in the spring. Winter was over. They got the motorcycles out, and they started congregating in Vermontville. That has turned into the Vermontville Maple Syrup Festival. As they have everything going on there, arts and crafts, one of the first big arts and crafts fairs of the season. But so many motorcycles come there now for this festival that the city has set aside an entire park where the motorcycles are parked so the guys can go and enjoy all the events. There'll be over 800 motorcycles of every vintage in that park this weekend.
For part of the Maple Syrup Festival.
They all just ride there, but there's so many of them come, and the streets are all full of the carnivals and the crafts and everything, that the city said, well, all right, we're going to park all the motorcycles in this park over here so we can guard them and protect them while everybody goes and parks.
So people who love that, all right, that's cool. Just keep driving me around Michigan, Ron. Going on.
While you're there, if you take a side note, between Charlotte and Vermontville is a little town of Bellevue, and the Bellevue drive-in is open. My mouth is watering just getting ready to tell you they have the best onion rings in Michigan. They're so good because they don't even slice the onion until you place your order.
Really?
Car hop runs in, gives the order, they make them, they bring them back out. I mean, you have to go through and just get that.
So, I went to a couple of drive-thrus when I was young, but by the time I was, older, that was the drive-thrus had, faded away. So for people who have never seen a drive-thru, taking the kids to a drive-thru or whatever, there it is, boom. I was thinking about drive-in movies. I guess I got lost there, but the drive-in, right? The drive-in, right?
Yeah, it's a drive-in restaurant. You drive in, the menu's up on a great big billboard in front of you. They come out, and of course, everybody gets the big foamy root beer like you used to be able to get when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Chili dog, and then, the onion rings are the pièce de résistance.
The root beer mustache, dude.
You got it.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's go north of the bridge.
Yeah, let's go north of the bridge because down here, of course, we look for robins to know that it's springtime.
Yeah.
But up in the central and western UP, they look for whitewater and a couple of festivals. So right now, if you go up there near Iron Mountain, there's a little town called Norway, and just south of that is a place called Piers Gorge, where there are three cataracts, and you can walk along this easy pathway. And the third cataract, at the best of times, is a Class 4 whitewater.
Really?
But with this snow melt and the rain we've been having, right now they're telling me it's a Class 5, and people come from all over the Midwest to kayak down that thing.
I can't
believe that you would do it. But the path goes so close to the river that people line up and watch these insane people kayaking down these Class 4 and Class 5 cataracts.
Yeah, that'd be me. I'd be watching. I've had my flirtations with, the dangerous life. I'm going to sit and watch and sit this one out. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
And then when you get tired of that, what you do is go back to Norway, Michigan, take the kids over to Rainbow Alpacas. Alpacas are friendly animals. They have an alpaca shearing festival this weekend, and they'll teach the kids how to do it, teach them how to manage wild, domesticated animals. Great way for everybody to get outside and have some fun.
I'm just impressed. I'm still stuck, and that's great, but I'm stuck on Pierce Gorge being Class 5 rapids for kayakers right now. I had no idea. I thought you had to go to the New River in West Virginia, but I was wrong again. Never underestimate Michigan, Ron. That's my theory in all of this. Where can people find out more about all of your adventures and places to go?
The place to go is www.michiganbackroads.com. If you want to know the festivals, just click that link, and we've got them all listed there by month. There's some fantastic stuff coming up next month as well.
Ron Rademacher, good fun. Thank you for the detox, some good smiles, and some great places to go. Thank you, my friend.
You have some fun this weekend, Steve.